Thank you all for coming out in this freezing cold this morning. Last week, we spent a tiny bit of time talking about masters, and then I took advantage of the category of master to talk a little bit about leadership that we didn't finish. But leadership seemed appropriate, being as in the section in Colossians on family, in every section you get something like wives, husbands, children, fathers, and then slaves and master. And there's always, there's this dual relationship, right? The two-sided relationship. And so leadership is taking place in each one of those relationships. And so I thought it appropriate to spend some time just on general leadership. Just a quick review. We discussed a little bit about the character, the kind of person that you ought to be as a leader. And the Bible usually talks about these things in the view of church leadership, but these characteristics carry across. And in books like Timothy and Titus, we see even we see almost all groups of people spoken to, except for children. It's elders, deacons, old men, young men, old women, young women. The whole spectrum of adults is spoken to, which is appropriate because we all have leadership positions, usually, especially if we've had children. But even if we don't have children, we might find ourselves at work in a position or just in a group of people. Whenever you're the expert at something, whatever it might be, whether it be working on a vehicle or something like happened this morning, a few of us put our heads in there and we figured it out and we had to. Dan took leadership, then I took leadership, and then the Bowdens took leadership. Right? And so whenever you have an expertise, you become a leader for a minute in that position. So all of us have to figure out how to be a good leader. But from Timothy and Titus and those books, we see some characteristics. And for just the review this morning as we go deeper into it, I kind of reworded the characteristics of a leader instead of going through the books again, because we don't want to rehash all of that. But I found self-discipline is sort of one of the top characteristics of a leader. Someone who is being faithful and loyal is a leadership characteristic. A leader loves people. A good leader loves people. A good leader seeks peace and order. A good leader is honest. And lastly, a good leader is dignified. The book also, Timothy and Titus also sometimes view it from the negative side. And they use a lot of different words. But these are kind of the main categories that I put them in. I didn't like dignified. I almost left it out, mostly because never felt comfortable with being dignified. I'm told that one of my most endearing characteristics is that I can make fun of myself, and I don't take myself serious, and it's true. That is kind of who I am. I've always struggled with this concept of dignified. As a youth, I wanted to be, yeah, and I think all men when they're young are like that. And you ladies probably too, I don't know, I can't relate. But I know that as a youth, I wanted people to respect me. I went to a church where the men wore suits and ties as a kid, and I looked up at them, and I thought, one day, that's me. Now I have to force myself to put on like a button-up shirt and try not to look too scruffy when I show up, and I'm more interested in just doing some stuff. Don't make me appear dignified and that sort of thing, but there is a dignity that even I want, and every person wants dignity, and to some extent, it's just how we the nuances of how we view that dignity, right? But that is definitely one I struggle with. And it's been a shortcoming in my life, just a little confession here. I really struggle with that. I don't take myself serious. So the goal of leadership, a second list we discussed, but we didn't finish all of the points. But the goal of leadership, or the goal of a leader, is one, to lead. And I know that seems funny, but to lead as in to define a purpose or a direction for those under your charge and for yourself, right? And then to go in that direction and expect other people to follow you in that direction. Otherwise, you're not a leader. What's the point in leading if people aren't following you in some direction? So that's the obvious goal, is to lead in a direction. But then it's also to protect those under your leadership. Everybody expects the person who's in charge to also be the first one to run towards danger. It's just sort of a thing. They're the one that that in a way is the most vulnerable because he's in charge. You see it in a family structure where if there's a dangerous animal outside. Is it okay for the husband to go hide while the wife goes figures out how to deal with it? I mean, I know there's some ladies that are very bold when it comes to wild animals and some guys that aren't. But in general, we frown at that sort of thing. That sort of thing is not okay. The man has to go stomp on the spider. Not really. My wife is like, yeah, right. right? But we expect the husband to do that. And in leadership positions, when something gets hard, when something breaks down, who do we expect to figure out how to deal with it? The leader, whoever's in charge. Right? When something goes wrong at my work, a freezer broke this last week, and who got a call? I got a call. The freezer's down. I'm like, okay, I'll be right there. I'll figure it out. Either I'll fix it, or I will call the guy that fixes it, or whatever it is. When things are difficult, it's your job to deal with it and to protect and give those under your charge safety. The next job is to equip. You expect people to follow you, but they have to be equipped to follow you. They have to be equipped to do the job. That's why I got a call about that freezer, right? They can't function without their freezer, at least not very long. So the next one is encourage. We haven't talked about encourage yet. And the last one is discipline. And we haven't talked about discipline yet. I wanted to talk specifically about encourage. Discipline is last on purpose. Some years ago, here at this church, we went through a series. Not everybody went through it. I think it was a Sunday night, we went through the Pearls Raising Kids God Way. Is that right? And what?
The Pearls was How to Train Up a Child.
How to Train Up a Child. There we go. Thank you.
The Kids God Way were the videos put out by somebody else.
Okay.
Anyway.
But we were watching the Pearl series. And he started with two subjects. The first video was, if I recall, something about being the master of joy. And the second video was about discipline. And when he addressed the one about discipline the second week, I don't remember much about this series. It's been a while. My kids are older. I don't pay that much close attention to raising kids anymore. But this stuck with me. He said, we could not talk about discipline if we had not first dealt with being the master of joy. This has kind of become a guiding principle for me when it comes to discipline in general at the workplace or anywhere. I don't always do it perfectly, so if you know of a case where I didn't do it right, try not to hold it against me. But discipline only works if the person that is being disciplined knows without a doubt that the things that you do in the big picture are for their benefit and their furtherment. If that is true, you can get away with a lot. That's why I've often said, and you've heard me say up here if you've been here for the last few months, the difference between discipline and abuse is whether or not the person being disciplined knows that you love them. And not because you told them, but because they experientially know that to be a fact. Then discipline is received usually fairly well. So love, joy has to be talked about first. And to me, I'm sticking that under this concept of encouragement. Because encouragement is the thing that keeps us going. Let's take a quick peek at Hebrews 3, 12 through 13. This passage is not about leadership, but I like this passage because it gives us a little insight that I care about. Hebrews 3, 12. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Notice that the remedy to an evil, unbelieving heart and to falling into sin, into the deceitfulness of sin, is that we encourage one another. I thought that was really cool when I came across this verse. It is not beating someone out of their evil way. That is not the remedy. The remedy is encouragement. Over the last years, self-reflecting and then also studying about for this morning, I was thinking about different things in my life, in my relationships that have to do with encouragement. I grew up very different than my closest brother. I have a lot of brothers, if you don't know my family. I'm the oldest of 17. So when I talk about my brother, I'm talking about Josiah. He lives in Germany. He's 2 years younger than me. We grew up together. He's my brother. I have brothers that are like cousins, if you know what I mean. They grew up in a different home than I grew up, with the same mother, some of them, but at a different time in her life, in a different place. And so Josiah, he's my brother. And we grew up together very closely, but we grew up extremely differently. Because he was very different than me. And I had a tendency to be really good at something the first time I did something. I don't know if any of you are like that. But especially as a child, if there was something that was considered impossible for someone to do, it would be my purpose to be able to accomplish it the first time I touched it. This was very important to me. I often, if you're with me in a group, sometimes I'm told I don't talk enough in the beginning because I will listen a long time to figure out what's going on so that when I say something, I appear very smart. This is considered wisdom, by the way, for those who do like mediation and that sort of thing. Watch what you say until the time comes. So it has its purposes that are positive, but in my case, it's a result of something negative. because as a young child, I was really good at doing something the first time compared to other people, I was praised and encouraged to keep being perfect. This is a very bad thing in children. And some of my studies recently pointed that out, and that's why I started thinking about it. You should never praise someone for being perfect. Why? Anybody know?
First of all, it's not reality.
It's not reality. That's true. But what does it do to the child? That's actually it. Okay, people, children who are praised for doing really well the first time they do something avoid challenges that they know they can't just do because they're being praised for immediate great results. So, so for example, children that are praised too much for like doing really well on tests and that sort of thing, and on certain results, will try to make sure that they only do subjects and things that they know they can get that perfect result on. Children that are taught to try really hard and are praised for their effort, effort praising creates children that feel joy and fulfilled when they're trying hard because they know that those in charge who see that effort are happy with them for that effort. And that's what builds them up. And so it's that effort that builds them up. And that's where they get their fulfillment, knowing that those in charge, the leaders in their life, their parents, and those watching on and their teachers, that child knows that that teacher and that parent sees their effort and is happy with them for it. And that makes them happy and fulfilled. And so that's where the difference between me and my brother came in. And I noticed this as a youth. As a teenager, I realized my brother is better at everything than I am now. Why? Because he knows he has to try. So he worked hard. You know, I was told I was naturally talented at music. How many instruments do you think I play? Zero. I play zero instruments. My brother plays every instrument under the sun. He might not be perfect at any of them, but he has a lot of fun. He has a song on Spotify, okay? and I look up to my brother now. So that's just an example of how important encouragement is. If you learn how to encourage properly, that is one of the greatest keys of being a good leader. If the people around you and the people following you want to go in that direction because they feel encouraged. It's also something that I've struggled with at home. My wife knows. I sometimes really struggle encouraging her in the way that she needs to be encouraged. I feel like I'm encouraging her, but knowing how somebody needs to be encouraged can be a really difficult thing. Especially if you grew up completely different. chuckle, right? So show those under your charge that you see, appreciate, and rejoice in their efforts to do what they ought to do. Yeah, we started late. We can go a little bit into discipline. Discipline, I didn't know how far to go with this. We don't have enough time anyways to get too deep into it. And I'm kind of glad. This is a difficult subject matter because we're generally happy to talk about discipline to children. Work discipline is sometimes a little bit more difficult. There's certain relationships in your life that you can't, they tend to end at a certain point. Yes?
Could you flesh out a little bit what you mean by discipline? Because often I think in our minds, when we talk about children, it means punishment for doing the wrong thing.
Right. That is the context in which I'm using it, more or less.
Okay.
I know there's self-discipline, and I'm not talking about self-discipline, although that is a good characteristic of a leader. But it is not. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about it from the leadership position, disciplining those under your charge.
Are you talking about corrective discipline or instructive discipline? Because there's about six different definitions of discipline. The first three have to do with instruction. You get down to the corrective around four or five. And the reason I know that is I just looked it up.
Right.
Usually, discipline is instruction or training. So what you're doing right now is discipline. You're instructing us.
Okay.
And if we don't get it, and you say, well, if you don't learn this, I'm going to turn the heat off every week, that would be corrective discipline. Please don't correct us.
So, Michael?
Yes, sir.
Are you intending to use discipline as punitive punishment?
A corrective. Yeah.
Back in Colossians, early in chapter 4, it's the first verse, masters are told to treat their slaves, employees, with fairness and justice.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way you intend to use it?
Aren't you just changing behavior? You have someone under you that's doing something. Doing A, you want to get them to do B.
Okay. Let's correct course. Because I haven't really said anything yet about discipline. We're basically out of time, and I'm being hit with more questions than before I've even had a chance to talk about it. And since we are almost out of time, any comments? We will get deeply into discipline next week. Any comments and thoughts about the encouragement thing?
We're not having
some. Oh, I have 2 weeks. And based on the comments I've gotten before I've had a chance to open my mouth, I've got a feeling I better study up on this a bit more. yes, David?
Michael, in terms of the encouragement, as one who is a leader, there is a responsibility to feed back to the employee or the slave
mm-hmm.
that he's done a good job, that he is appreciated. And the articles that I have read indicate that pay is low on the level
mm-hmm.
of encouragement.
Agreed.
There are other things that are way, way more important. If I may give one example, one of my responsibilities as the manager of a radio station is to make sure my employees have the equipment to do the job that's been given to them.
Mm-hmm.
I hired a young man his job is to produce commercials on the air for businesses. What did he have? He had to work with a computer to write on, a microphone to speak into, and that was it. There was a recording device, I guess, number three. But that's all he had. And we were into a state-of-the-art era when there is so much more that could be done. You've listened to competing stations, watched television, and the things that are done today they're so far beyond what I was reared with.
Mm-hmm.
My responsibility was to get him the equipment he needed. So I had to spend the money, $10,000 or whatever, to buy a piece of equipment that he could use and manipulate sound. I had to purchase several recording libraries made specifically for sound effects and short beds of music and so on. Probably spent another $5,000 on those. And then I turned to him and said, here, learn it, go to work with it. The result was, three consecutive years, our station took the award in the state of Oregon for best commercial or public service production. Mm-hmm. I, in turn, needed to make sure he was responsible for that. All I did was say, here are the tools. But he was a creative fellow who put it all together, and the honor went to him more than to me.
Right. Yeah. Good. Elizabeth, you had your hand open earlier.
I was just thinking in your list of, as a leader and what you need to know, and I think it's also really important to know the capacity, the capability, know the ones that you're trying to lead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, because as a teacher, you know, I have the privilege of working one-on-one with students rather than in a group setting, which is makes it a lot easier to do that. But there's certain, and I think this kind of ties into the discipline thing too. I mean, with teaching, there's always some of that. Knowing my students is crucial into knowing how to encourage them, because some of them, they can't take a very passive, okay, that was really nice, but let's try something else. They need, no, you did it wrong, do this again. And then some of them, if you talk to them like that, it's going to completely break them. You have to be so careful and so gentle. And so, yeah, I think that's exactly it. Knowing who you're leading is of utmost importance, mm-hmm. to know how to encourage them.
Okay. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much that we get together and we get to have this discussion. And thank you that you've created leadership and that you've led and given an example for how to lead. Lord, I just ask this morning that, first of all, thank you that the heat is going. And I just ask that we would have great fellowship, and that we would learn how to lead and follow and work together well as a family. Thank you for your wisdom that you've installed in the people in this church, that we can interact in a way and learn from each other. May you be glorified in our break in a minute, Lord, in our discussion. Please prepare Dan for the next hour. Be glorified in our midst, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.